Welcome everyone into the B Section podcast brought to you by the Morning Times and the Daily Review. I'm Kirk Loveson, joined by Logan Hill and David Goff. As always, we're about to bring you the local sports recap from around the area, preview this week's games that are coming up, and then talk some things nationally. But before we do so, Logan, hit us with our sponsor for this week.
Today's podcast is being brought to you by the Jolly Farmer Convenience Store. When you think convenience, think the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. From supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, lottery tickets, and that pick-me-up cup of coffee, they have it all for you at the Jolly Farmer. Visit the Jolly Farmer, 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly, open 7 days a week. You've heard me say it before, best donuts in town, best donuts in the valley. I think I'm okay in saying that. I don't know. I guess I haven't tried them all. Maybe I have to make that a side quest of my own on the weekends, but Jolly Farmer, can't go wrong.
They'll stand up to anybody's. Also, it's getting to be that time of year, too, where that fall weather makes you donuts taste a little better, coffee's a little warmer, so they're a perfect place to stop and get both. Let's start in the Valley this week, recapping some football. Waverly takes down Horseheads 34-21. David, what can you tell us about the Wolverines picking up another W last week?
That sophomore starting quarterback, Ben Shaw, had his best game to date. He was 21 of 29 passing for 275 yards. That's a good day on the gridiron.
Absolutely.
It was a good mix, too, because Colson Keithley had almost half of those yards with 133 receiving yards on four catches. And then Xavier Watson had 9 catches for 85 yards. So,
okay,
kind of a balance of things there.
Definitely what you want to see from a sophomore quarterback, too. Every week, a little bit better,
He was a combined 16 of 30 in the first two games, and then the next game after the first two games, but completely better completion percentage. So, and I think, I mean, really, Waverly, seeing that is very encouraging going into a week like this week when you're going up at Main End. To see what looks like Ben Shaw grew up even further, it seems like it might be good timing for them to do it.
Yep, and it looks like they're going to perfectly progressing towards peaking in that deep playoff run, right? Yeah. Like we just said, better and better every week. By the time you get into the postseason where Waverly's expectations are, he should be at his best, and that's exactly what you want to do with a young quarterback.
Yeah.
Tioga's streak comes to an end. It's snapped by the Big Bad Wolf from our area at times, Shenango Forks, 25-0. Talk me through it, David.
It just works dominated the game from the line of scrimmage. It was something like 210 total yards to 43 at halftime.
Not something like that. You see very often.
You never see Tioga on that side. You haven't seen Tioga on that side in at least 44 games because it was a 43-game win streak. And
incredible streak, by the way.
Yeah, wow. It's absolutely. I mean, they won 43 straight games, 3 state championships within that. It's, oh, well, they lost the game. Like, it's not the end of the world for them. They're still going to be in the mix for Class D this year, that's for sure. And it's almost kind of like bad timing for Tioga to play Forks when they did, because this is still a new team with the skill players having more responsibilities than they did last year. And it was only week 3. You would think Tioga, and I mean, you would put all your trust in Nick Aiello if you're Tioga, that they're going to get better throughout the year.
Absolutely.
They just have to get Forks at the beginning of the year. And honestly, this would have been an interesting game last year with Tioga having those three, that senior class that they had last year. It would have been almost more fair to Tioga, I want to say, if Tioga and Forks got a chance to play each other last year. I feel like that would have been a closer game. But yeah, Forks just looked like the experienced team that was trying to bounce back from a somewhat below average year for them last year. They're on a quest to have an even better season this year. They saw Tioga coming into their own field and saying, that's a team that we want to make a statement against, and they did that.
Yeah, and I do like, regardless of how tough it is, I do like the way this schedule was set up for Tioga because, again, this is a team whose expectation, regardless, is to win a sectional title. Is states out there? Sure, it absolutely could be. But to start with a good Maryvale team, to follow it up with a really good Windsor team, and then to go on the road and play a really good Forks team, this, at the very worst, it's a loss, but the positive side is, like we just talked about with Ben Shaw, this is development.
Yeah.
This is setting this team up to get better and better every week so that you peak when it is time to really come through. And I still like where this Tioga team's headed.
And the winning streak is the sexy thing to talk about and all that. But to Nick Aiello, he says, like, he didn't care about the streak. Yeah. He cares about what happens in November and December. Yep. And he told me, he's like, if you would have told me that we were 2-1 after these 3 weeks, I've been very pleased with it. And they're 2-1. And it was probably maybe a bit of a shock to the players on that sideline. It's like, they don't want to be the ones that end the losing, end the winning streak.
Yeah.
But
and as we sit here and talk, this is what being spoiled feels
exactly,
like.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're 2-1 after beating two teams in higher classes. Yeah. And we're like, man, this is a sky falling.
Yeah. This is a program that's won 4 state championships in a decade. Sure. You would assume they'll be fine.
They will have played already by the time you're listening to this. Yes. They are on the road Thursday night of this week against Spencer Vinnett and Candor, so we won't preview that game too much. That'll have already happened. We will go on the Pennsylvania side of things now. Athens drops a tough one. Yes. North Penn Mansfield over Athens, 16-14.
It's a game that, I mean, both sides could probably think they should have played a better game because there are 24 combined penalties, accepted penalties. There are probably upwards of 35 to 40 penalties called. Yikes. That some of them were declined. But yeah, both teams could leave that game thinking, oh, that was ugly. We should have played better. For Athens, in their mind, they could probably think we should have won this game by a couple
of
touchdowns.
That was ours to win, right?
They had multiple opportunities. The first half, they went... So, Connor Davidson has an 87-yard kickoff return for a touchdown to begin the game. 7-0. North Penn Mansfield goes down the field on their first drive, score to make it 7-6. And Athens actually had an offside penalty on the PAT. So, North Penn Mansfield was like, we'll take that penalty, and we'll go for 2 at the 1-yard line. They don't get it. So for the next 34 minutes of game action, it's 7-6 Athens because of that decision.
Which, what a change, because if you're Athens and you're fans of Athens, you're coming off of that shootout with Canton.
Yeah.
Where it's like, and you think the first two drives of the game, oh, score, score, here we go again. Yeah. Then no points
And the thing is, too, is Athens, all 5 of their actual offensive possessions in the first half got within 30 yards of the end zone. You need to score.
You need to score points there.
But there were just some flat out drops in the end zone that cost you, and then the penalties cost them as well. And it really everything added up more on Athens' negative side than it did on Mansfield's negative side. And it's a tough loss for Athens too. They've had a kind of a bounce back season so far in a lot of ways from last year, and that's one that they're gonna want to take back.
Athens will get Wellsboro at home tonight. Sayre, tough one. Muncie comes to town. Muncie, good football team. We knew this was going to be a chore going into it. Muncie gets the job done 61-20.
Just a classic case of a team that was rolling coming into a Saturday
overmatched
game. And they just, Muncie really just, they returned the opening kickoff. They had an interception return for a touchdown. They had their first, I think, 2 offensive plays were play action passing touchdowns, long rushing touchdowns. They just put it away and waited to play another week. We were talking about before we got in here to tape today, they have Montgomery this week, so going to be a big-time game for them, a rivalry week
for
maybe
them.
Maybe they were coming into that night like, let's get this one done, let's go win it, and let's get ready for
the rivalry matchup. Sure.
But, I mean, there's some good things you take away if you're Sayre. Sayre scored 20 points in the loss.
Which third week in a row.
Would have been easy to just lay down. You're down 54-6.
Now, is the pattern still there? Didn't Pelicano score all 3 touchdowns?
No, they had some new scorers this week. Hudson Malinowski. Yep. I hope I'm not mispronouncing that.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't cover Sayre too regularly myself. And then Carter Green got in the end zone on a 1-yard keeper. So he scored first. He scored right before halftime. And then Hudson was his go-to target in that game. I think he finished with 5 catches for 80 yards or something like that. Okay. So, and
I
then,
like that.
You know, Pelicano is not going to leave a game without scoring a touchdown most weeks. So he got one late in the second half. But, I mean, they have another straight home game. I feel like we've been saying that for a month straight. Sayre's a home game this week.
Literally a month straight.
Yeah, so they're going to host Northwest in what should, you would imagine, should be a decently close game.
It's a potentially winnable game for Sayre, and it's nice to see like a Hudson Malinowski getting involved. Mm-hmm. Some of these other players other than Pelicano getting some targets and building towards, again, this week, Sayre Northwest at home, potential winnable game. We'll see if the Redskins can get it done.
One last interesting tidbit from that is, and I don't know, David, if you noticed this when I sent you the roundup or the box score, whatever it was, and Mike Griffin had a carry for 2 yards. I don't think it was designed. Carter Green was kind of getting tackled, and he pitched it to him, and Griffin went out and got 2 yards.
He'll take the 2.
That is an offensive lineman, listening.
Yep, offensive lineman for Sayre, and he got the ball on a pitch, and he got 2 yards out of it. So that was a pretty just, like, I got to interview him earlier this season. So But yeah, I mean, it's going to be their last home game until their homecoming.
They have
early October.
The homecoming against Tawanda on October 12th. It's their only other home game after this current week.
Logan, let's go to your side. Troy continues to roll 56-13 over the Black Knights.
Yeah, I wasn't there for that one, but just another Troy Trojans Friday night on their home field. I think it was like 35-0 in the second quarter, right at halftime, right around then. It was their homecoming game, so they're even that further juiced up to play. Brendan Gilliland's been their leading running back, I would say. You mix in Mason Smith as sort of a a change of pace back almost, or like your punt returner. Like you want to get the ball in his hands too. So, but they have options everywhere. I think Lincoln Shimmicks had 2 touchdowns in that game, or Lincoln Kimmicks. I got to figure out which is the right way. I've been saying Shimmicks since the day I showed up here, but I've heard more and more recently having it said Kimmicks. So
you need to be like the broadcasters on those high level television broadcasts where they have the pronunciation in front of them.
Yeah,
they
I used to have those when I called games in college.
It's tough with all these schools.
It's a little bit harder in high school. I thought where you were going with that was they need to like get all their players to tape like the Sunday night intro.
Yeah.
Logan Hill, Pasadena Elementary School.
Elementary or would you go college?
Well, now I would go college, but if I was a high school player, I would probably go elementary.
T for Temple U.
Okay.
T for Temple U. I would probably
go Kirk Loveson, Morning Times.
Or Paxtonia Elementary.
Yeah, I might go elementary school. I would probably go Logan Hill, Pasadena. Well,
who was it? Terrell Suggs, Ball So Hard University.
Yeah, that was like the first
that
one.
Was that was when it got weird, yeah. While losing, close one, but they fall to South Williamsport 21-19. What can you tell us about that one?
That was a Thursday nighter. I was there for that one, and it was 14-0 South early in the game. I think their first 2 drives they went down and scored on. And then while Lucing starts coming back, Aiden Hunsinger had like 246, 252, something like that. He had 24 carries, I believe. I could have that number even wrong, but off the top of my head here. But he had 3 rushing touchdowns, the first of which was an outside run for about 60-some yards. And then he got another 8-yard run after a Ethan Vanderpool interception just before halftime to make it 14-13. And that's kind of where it stayed. I think South went down and scored on their first chance of the second half, and that put him up 21. 13, yeah. So I'm trying to do a lot of math in my head. I got this index in front of me. And then while Lucing manages a score, they go for 2. They don't get it, so they're down 2 points. So they get the ball back, and you know that Rams offense, they want to run the ball 3 yards in a cloud of dust, 2 yards in a cloud of dust, maybe even 1 if that's all they can get, but they're going to run the ball. They get down. Penalties. David talked about it in the Athens game. In this game, there was 2 stretches late where they got 2 straight back-to-back offensive penalties, false start, not lining up right, illegal formation. So along those lines, and it backed them up. And so it came down to it. They ran the clock down and they said, we're going to try a field goal for the win. Field goal wasn't good. South leaves with the victory. So it was just one of those. It's going to come down to those moments sometimes. And if you're going to be, and Coach Rich Rogers said as much in the post game, if you're going to be that kind of offense that wants to just grind it out, ground and pound, you can't afford to have penalties. He said, you lose 10 yards on the first play, that's the end of the drive as far as he's concerned. So
while losing, really hot start. They've dropped a couple in previous weeks. They got another tough one this weekend. Tonight, Troy comes to town.
Yep.
So we'll see how the Rams stack up against the Trojans. My surprise team candidate for this year in the NTL, Montgomery. Another big win. This time over Canton, 19-16. And what I'd still say, again, is an unexpected victory. Montgomery really showing up this year and proving to be a team you can't take lightly. They get it done again over Canton 19-16.
Yeah, that was another good game. I had 2 straight really good Thursday-Friday games to cover this week.
Yeah.
It was, again, it was a story. Montgomery, I think, was up 13-0. I have that wrong. It was 7-7. I need to look at my notes. I'm sorry. I was working on this power index today.
Logan's got another concept coming up. He's all over.
Yeah, I'm just trying to provide content. But it was another good game. Is Montgomery went right down the field and scored on their first drive, and then can't answer back in like 2 plays. They had a 40-some yard rushing touchdown. While I pull this up,
and everyone's thinking, "Oh, we might have a good one on our hands."
Like, oh my gosh, it's going to be another 45, 45.
The way we talked about with Athens earlier, you see two scoring drives to open the game, and you think, oh, this is Athens-Canton all over again. Canton fans are probably thinking the same thing as Athens fans were.
It was 6-6, and then it was 13-6. Then it was 19-6 Montgomery. So it was tied at six. Both teams couldn't get their extra points. Canton went for two after a penalty. And then Montgomery went on two straight scoring drives to end the first half. Canton got one back right before halftime. So you go into the locker rooms, it's 19-13. So from there, Canton's getting the ball. You're thinking,
shut them down in the second half, though, it sounds like.
It was a very defensive battle in the second half. So Canton's getting the ball. If you're a Warriors fan, if you're the Warriors faithful, you're probably thinking, okay, we're right there, right? A score puts us ahead.
A score plus an extra point puts
us ahead. So that's the way it went. And then in close to the end of the third quarter, Canton decides to kick it. Alexis McRoberts makes the 24-yard field goal. So it's now 19-16. So it's, again, defensive. Nobody can really get anything truly going. Canton gets down into position. With 7:47 left to play, they're facing a 4th-and-5. They originally lined up to go for it. They take a timeout. They come back out. They try and kick it from about 37 yards. And it looked like it had the distance. It was off to the left, so the kick was no good. 19-16 still. Montgomery needs a couple of first downs to get out of it. It looked like maybe Canton was going to try to stop him. Canton only had one timeout. So
okay.
We were facing a 2nd-and-13 after a Montgomery timeout. I think that was the yards and the down to go. Montgomery comes out and gets like a 26-yard burst of a run, and that effectively puts the game away. So I think Canton has their two losses this year have both come at home. I think all their wins are on the road so far. They beat Northwest to open the season.
That's unusual.
North Penn Mansfield on the road, and then I'm trying to remember. Oh, they played South week two. So
and Canton, this is a good transition because Canton is our other game this week that will have already taken place by the time you're listening to this. So let's jump right into the preview for this week's game. The two Thursday games that will have already taken place before this podcast, Tioga at Spencervan and Candor, Towanda home for Canton. Also, Friday night, Sayre, their home, Northwest. Athens also home. The Valley all home this weekend.
Yeah, Athens, that's their homecoming game.
Wellsboro comes to town. Waverly, of course, at Maine Enwell on Saturday. Potential game of the season. If you really want to see some top-level high school football, given the size of each program, obviously Waverly coming off a state championship, looking to go back. Maine Enwell has been in the last four state title games. They're undefeated this season as well. You want to see a really good game. Saturday down in Maine Enwell should be fantastic. And then, of course, we talked about why losing their home again for Troy. Where's everyone going to be this weekend? Let's start with tonight. Friday night, where are you at, Logan?
Troy Wailusing, and Thursday will have been Towanda Canton.
Keep an eye out for that coverage.
Story, yep.
David?
I'll be at Sayre Northwest on Friday, or tonight, I guess. And then, but Thursday, I'll have been at Tioga, so you can see the coverage of that game.
On all on paper. Stands right now. Please go out and get a copy.
And then I'll be at Maine Enwell on Saturday for the Waverly game.
I'll be out of town.
So, obviously, these guys, anything, yeah.
Email me.
Boots on the ground. We'll talk about that later.
Happy late birthday to Logan Hill.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, turned 19.
Nice. Same. Other local stuff. What do we got, guys? Let's talk some non-football before we transition to the national sports scene. David, girls soccer off and rolling still?
Yeah. So after we recorded our podcast last week, I got a text from the Tioga soccer coach, Emily Potter, asking if I was going to be at the game that night. I wasn't planning to originally, but she's like, well, we have a girl that might be breaking the career school record for goals. I'm like, well, I should be there. Sophia Haney, the junior, she tied the record that night with 36 for her 36th career goal. She didn't get the breaking goal later that night, but she would later do that on Friday. She now has, with a win on Monday, this past Monday, she now has 39 career goals. So just cool to see a junior. She's a
very cool
a junior who in New York you can start playing varsity as a 7th grader. She's played, as far as I could tell, she played as a 7th grader and as a sophomore and as a junior in soccer. And she's already broken the school record, which is, I guess that program's only existed since like 2010, I believe. But
broke the record with a year and a half left to play. Yeah. That number's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
But there's also an 8th grader on the team right now, Grace Howie, who she's scoring a lot of goals herself. So she might be right up there on that list where she's an upperclassman.
Love to see that.
So right now, as of this recording on Wednesday, Tioga is 6-1. Athens, they were 6-0 as of last week's podcast. They are now 8-1. They lost at Cicero and North Syracuse on Saturday, 8-1. But the couple days before that, they beat Northeast Bradford with a late goal. So their dramatics kept continuing. And then last night on Tuesday, I was at Athens Wailusing, and Wailusing, who Athens beat 1-0 in overtime at Wyalusing last week. Wyalusing was up 2-0 late, early in the second half yesterday, and then Athens storms back. They tie it 2-2, win the game in overtime 3-2. They had a lot of success with corner kicks. They Brindley Nichols was the corner kicker, and both times in that second half, they were able to get goals off of him to tie it. And then Delaney Patton had the game tying goal, and then with like a minute and a half into overtime, Delaney scored the game winner. So just Athens is the they're being called the Cardiac Cats now. So
okay.
Yeah,
it sticks. That sticks.
Yeah, so they're 8-1. They're getting all these major wins that aren't, you know, dominant per se, but they're finding ways to win these games. And then Waverly, they are 7-2 on the season now. I cover them beating Shenango Forks 1-0 with a goal in the last 10 minutes on Saturday. They went to Shenango Valley, who was the unbeaten team in the stack last night. Shenango Valley beat them 6-1 after Waverly actually took a 1-0 lead halfway through the first half. So that's a loss that that was a game that they were hoping to see where they could stack up. And for a little bit, they were with Shenango Valley, but Valley just pulled away. But yeah, as far as the Valley girls soccer thing, that it's still very much a positive stuff going on.
Please get out and check them out. Logan, anything on your end before we head to the national scene?
No, nothing too major. Just we're getting down to the nitty gritty of some of the sports. Cross country is getting ready to come up on the end of its season, or at least the start of the postseason, right? Golf, I think, had district meet on Wednesday down at I want to say it's called White Tail or White Deer.
Okay.
I could have that wrong, but that was at like 11 on Wednesday morning. I was in Towanda yesterday for cross country and boys soccer. The Towanda boys soccer team came back to win 3-2 over Northeast. It was 1-0 at the half. 1-1 quickly after halftime, and then NEB got the 2-1 leading goal, and pretty much seconds later, Towanda got back, and then they scored again to win 3-2. Their boys and girls cross-country team came away with wins against North Penn, Mansfield, and Canton Tuesday, that is, if you're listening to this on Friday. So just that it's getting down to it, and I think you talked about it at the top, Kirk, the weather's a change in, so it's really starting to feel like the home stretch sort of, or like the midway point of the fall season.
Absolutely. So, lot to watch. Keep an eye on girls soccer. Get out there for the football games tonight and on Saturday if you want to get down to Main Endwell. David and Logan will have you covered on all of it. And certainly there's papers on stand right now if you want to get their coverage on both Tioga's game against Spencer Van Etten and Canton Towanda. Before we go to the Philly Minute, Logan, talk to me about the Jolly Farmer.
Today's podcast is brought to you by the Jolly Farmer in Waverly. That's 7 Elizabeth Street in Waverly. When you think about convenience, think about the Jolly Farmer. From the supersized selection of microbrewery beers to the bakery and grocery items, they also have lottery tickets and even that pick-me-up cup of coffee. They have it all for you at the Jolly Farmer. Open 7 days a week. That's right there in the heart of Waverly, 7 Elizabeth Street.
76 seconds on the clock. It is now becoming close to the longest running segment on the B Section podcast.
I'm not sure I really totally won it, but
I don't know if that's a now notorious thing or. But regardless, we got to do it. There's plenty to talk about.
I don't
in the
like
land
hearing myself talk for over a minute.
76. Coming into it, David did say he had a lot to talk about the Flyers today. So you're officially on the clock. Ready? Go.
Go Flyers. The Philadelphia Phillies are National League East champions for the first time in 13 years. Very cool, very fun, very happy to see it. It's exciting. I was not as excited as I thought I would be when it happened, and maybe it's just because it was a Monday night game against the Chicago Cubs.
Do you think it was because it felt like it was going to happen all season once they got
I think it would have been a lot more celebratory it was a celebratory scene, like, don't get me wrong, it was a big deal, but I would have been a little more celebratory had it happened in New York over the weekend, because that just would have been sweeter, being the team that you're trying to win the division over in New York. That would have been sick. But though they had to do it at home on Monday, which is cool. And also, it's without winning the division in the last 13 years, they made it to the World Series 2 years ago. They made it to the NLCS last year as a wild card.
Division champs now.
Just division is cool. I love having the bracket ranch over the Mets and Braves. Win in October. We got spoiled. We got a taste of the last 2 years, how close they got. Last year, they kind of blew it in the NLCS, which is a bitter taste. So now that's awesome. But even I know the Phillies know that's just step one of what they're really trying to do. If they don't go and win a World Series this year, it's a crapshoot in MLB, so you can't be like,
oh, time.
Dang, that was a quick 76.
Quick 76. I give you a minute 22.
Hey, the Phillies are champs. That deserves a little bit of extra time.
Yeah, but
Temple just, football just, get a win.
They won.
we have to touch on it.
45-29 over Utah State, the new Pac-12 member Utah State. And then the only fun thing about that, or not the only fun thing about that, but the noteworthy thing about that that is matters to people who don't care about Temple is our kicker had a 64-yard field goal, the longest kick in college football in 16 years.
Wow.
And
64.
And now the longest kick in Lincoln Financial Field history, surpassing Jake
Elliott. It's interesting because it comes on the heels of an NFL season where it seems like every kicker on every team.
Not every kicker.
But a lot of good kicking in football right now. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, yeah, the Cowboys kicker, Aubrey, had a 65-yarder on Sunday.
NFL, boys. We are going to do two quick real or fakes, and then Logan's got a new cool concept introduced this week, and then we'll just do our what's left of the Survivor. Not much surviving going on at this round table. Yeah,
really, really tough week three. I hope you guys enjoyed our September segment.
Yeah, we got a good idea to get this back on the rails, though, in the coming weeks, but let's talk real or fake. I'm going to give you five teams that are 3-0. Point out to me which one is fake. The Buffalo Bills, the Minnesota Vikings, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Seattle Seahawks, and the reigning defending Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Logan, who's the realest team out of that group and who's the fakest?
The realest team in that group to me so far is the Buffalo Bills. I don't think that's really a debatable. They're 3-0, and they're two of their last two wins, so two of their three wins, have come in blowout fashion. They're just kind of clicking. It's like they picked up right where they kind of ended last season.
Defense looks like it's not going to be the problem people thought, and the offense is gelling in a way we haven't seen in a couple years.
What was the other end? Who's the fakest 3-0?
And who's the fakest out of that group? Vikings, Steelers, Seahawks, Chiefs.
I still lean Vikings. I'm almost tempted not to say Vikings because they did have a pretty convincing win over the Texans last week.
Yep.
So for the sake of conversation and to leave the door open for somebody else to pick somebody else, I'll pick the Vikings. I just think they're on an upward trajectory, but I just think, again, like their ceiling is only... I don't think Sam Darnold's suddenly going to be first-team All-Pro or even in the running for that.
Neither is Brock Purdy.
I think it's eventually going to even out. I don't understand that one. What do you mean, neither is
Brock Purdy? Well, I mean... The 49ers,
recently have gone to the Super Bowl
without the quarterback being spectacular.
But I don't think this Vikings roster is as good as...
I mean, that's fair too, but I just, you know.
Who's your realist?
My realist is, I think it is debatable. It's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ooh.
Because the Chiefs are two-time defending Super Bowl champions. They're 3-0. Yes, they've had some tight ones, but they're still 3-0, and they're the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think they're the realist of the bunch.
Fake?
The Seahawks.
Okay.
I think I like the Vikings, and when you beat the Texans and 49ers the way they have with Sam Darnold, it leads me to believe that they'll be a division contender at the end of the year, possibly, if not just a playoff team. So for the Seahawks, I don't think the Niners are going to be this down the entire season. Maybe, and then I think the Rams are better than their 1-2 start as well. So I feel like it's more likely in my head that the Seahawks fall a little bit.
The realest team is the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen is maybe the leading contender in only 3 weeks as the MVP.
I wonder who said that at the beginning of the
he's going to get a chance to prove it again this weekend against last year's MVP in Baltimore, Maryland. We'll have boots on the ground for that one.
Lamar Demetrius Jackson.
Logan will be there.
It's Demetrius.
Which, I don't know. Are you 0-2 in the last two trips?
No, last game I went to was...
Did they win?
No, last game I went to was AFC Championship game. They lost.
Yeah,
that
so I feel good about
but
this
before
game.
Before that...
You went to the Jaguars.
I went to the Jaguars game in Jacksonville. Okay. The Ravens won.
The Colts was a bad one, right?
The Colts, they lost. Yeah, Gardner Minshew keeps me up at night.
I feel good about you being there this weekend as a Bills fan. The fakest team is the Chiefs.
Ooh, okay.
They should have lost two. Travis Kelce does not look like we're going to get the same old Travis Kelce. I know everyone was saying coming to the season, there's a chance. It's finally going to happen. A little bit of retirement talk, and all of a sudden he's not as involved in the offense as I think they need him to be to still be that same defending team. also, the Xavier Worthy thing, I think, fizzled a little bit. It's fun throwing him two-yard passes behind the line of scrimmage every other play, but I'm not seeing quite the downfield threat that we thought we saw in week one. I think there's reason to believe the Chiefs aren't the juggernaut that they've been in the past three seasons. They could very easily be 1-2 right now.
But they are.
Very easily. Some of it's been some late-game penalties. Some of it's been some late-game decisions on the opposite side of the ball. So, yeah, when I look at the other teams in here, the Vikings destroyed the Houston Texans. That one wasn't close. The Bills have destroyed everybody they've played. The Steelers' defense is the best defense in football. And the Seahawks are in a very winnable schedule, which means whether they're real or fake, it might not matter the way that that schedule plays out. Chiefs are going to get the Ravens. They're going to get the Bills. Not easy. I think the Chiefs might be the fakest team on that list.
That's interesting. I'm not putting anything past the Chiefs. We've seen
it how many years in a row. It's just so hard.
It's got to end at some point.
It's true.
And we've been talking about some dynasties ending in the high school area. I think we could see it in the NFL now, too. Eventually, it's got to fall. Real or fake, my last one. Here are the teams who have yet to win a game. Tell me who is the worst, meaning their record is very real at 0-3. And tell me who, don't be so quick to shut the door. The Cincinnati Bengals, the Tennessee Titans, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll reverse it this time. I'll start it. I'm not shutting the door on the Bengals. The Browns are not good. The Ravens could very easily in this stretch not be above 500. And the Steelers, if the offense can't catch up to the defense, anything can happen.
They look pretty good against
the Bengals. Chargers. The Bengals, 0-3. They can still get back in this, I think, maybe, with the offense that they have and the firepower that they have. Their defense is a problem. They got to correct it, obviously, but all three of these teams at 0-3 are going to have to make some adjustments for any of us to be right. I feel more confident with the Bengals getting it right than the Titans or the Jags. The worst team on this list is Jacksonville. I watched, obviously, as a Bills fan, that whole game. They're terrible. They can't rush the passer. Trevor Lawrence is two games away from probably getting replaced by Mac Jones.
Oh, gosh.
It's not good in Jacksonville right now. And I know Dave and I talked off air earlier. Peterson might be first coach fired.
Yeah.
Things are not good in Jacksonville, Florida right now. I think the Jags are the worst of that list. David, who's the better of those three teams that have started out 0-3?
It's Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I will say I feel like it should be
also
better.
For our take, we need it to be.
Like you guys want me to vomit during these tapings. Oh my goodness.
I think it should be mentioned that Kirk and I agreeing on the Bengals being a AFC North champions and possible Super Bowl contenders.
It's only right.
One of the worst takes we've ever had on this podcast.
Real ball knowers sitting across from me, huh?
It's only right that we hang on for dear life here.
Yeah, so I will say that's probably the worst take we've ever had on this podcast. Logan good. Not included because he's smart enough to not say that.
Thank you. Logan Hill, ball knower.
But
shutting the door.
But between the Jaguars and the Titans and the Bengals are the better team. They have the better chance. I'll put the Titans as the
worst.
The Jaguars might have... Well, Doug Peterson might be the first coach fired because that's the situation they're in and they're way below expectations.
Yeah.
But the Titans are just bad. Will Levis is not a good quarterback.
We're supposed to be good.
I don't even know who the coach is, but it's...
From an expectations. They're not gonna,
yeah. So I just think the Titans are just that bad.
Who's
you say you don't... Callahan from the Bengals. For the Titans, Bengals coaching tree. Who's the fakest, or who's the
best of those 0-3 teams?
I think it's the Bengals. I hate to say it, right, but just the Jacksonville. They were up on Miami in Week One. They ended up losing that game, and nothing has gone well since then. They lose to a Browns team that just lost to the Giants, that got boat raced for a long time by the Cowboys in Week One, and the Bengals just it comes down a lot of these. Takes or a lot of these decisions, in my mind, it comes down to head coach, quarterback. That's not a new concept. That's not even an original concept by me, but it seems to be math that tracks in most cases. And I like Burrow and Taylor, especially with the continuity they've had over what's going on in Jacksonville. Something feels off down there in that nice part of Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, with that football team, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Maurice Jones-Drew, all-time greatest Jaguar. That's a story for another day.
Probably.
Yeah, he's got a good case. And then I just think the Titans' ceiling just... There is no, it's the ceiling's the floor. Who said that originally? I didn't make that up right now, but.
Whoever said that meant to make it as a positive thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just Will Levis. Yeah, I think he's fun. I think he has some physical intangibles, but it has not looked good through the first 3 weeks. Yeah. Every week they're coming out with a new screen grab on Twitter of just some crazy moment from Will
Levis.
Decision
he made, yeah.
So, and I just, you lose Derrick Henry, that's kind of your face of the franchise for the last decade or so. And so I think they're probably, I think the Bengals, like, it is what it is. I could be looking down the barrel in late October, early November, and the Bengals could have easily won 5 or 6 straight games and turned it around.
How many people do you think are going to stop listening to us because they think, well, there's no chance any of these guys know ball if one of them sat up here and said the Kansas City Chiefs are the fakest, the undefeated team in football? I'm standing on it.
Credit to you if you get this far in the podcast.
I'm standing on it.
I mean,
I figure people turn us off after we probably get to the high school.
You're probably, you're probably talking to air.
Dead air, yep.
All right. Power index.
Okay, so.
New concept, Logan. Talk us through it.
It's a rough draft with the power index because here's the trouble. Is I made up a system, and so far, so the system looked like it was going well. It looked like it was going good. I'm missing two teams.
Okay.
I can't figure out which ones they are. So
how's it work?
So basically how it works, and this might have just been my trial run week. Maybe I'll tweak it for further weeks. But basically, you get a win, you get 3 points. You lose a game, you lose a point. If you get a divisional win, you get a point because that you go so much further in winning your division, which helps for the postseason. You win by 15 points, more than 2 scores, you get a point. Lose by 15 points, more than 2 scores, you lose a point.
Got it.
Then the tiebreakers I had was head-to-head if applicable, and then record versus your own conference, and then opponent's record. So I'm pretty confident in the top 12-ish to 15. Then I was getting down here trying to finish the bottom, and... There's 32 teams in the NFL, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I'm missing two of them. So maybe
we'll get there.
You guys will point them
out. Give us the top 5 teams in the Logan Hill Power Index.
So tell me if you guys have any pushback on this, and this is in order. The top 5 were all the undefeateds. It was Buffalo 1, Minnesota 2, Seattle 3, Pittsburgh 4, Kansas City 5. And that was 12 points, 11 points, 10 points, 9 points, and 9 points with...
So judging by your power index, what I said earlier, Buffalo's the realest and Kansas City's the fakest of those. Yeah. I'm with it.
And I didn't just start working on this when we were taping. I started this last night. So
all right, I'm with it. Give me 6 through 10.
6 through 10 is New Orleans, the New York Jets, the Chargers, Green Bay, and Tampa. Chargers take the second tiebreaker over Green Bay, which was record versus conference, as did Tampa Bay over number 11, which is Houston.
So the biggest thing that jumps out to me right away is same record, but one has a win over the other. The Saints are in, the Eagles are out.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say.
Yep, so the Eagles, and actually David and I were talking about it before, it looks like I mixed them up. They were lower than they should have been. They're at 12.
Okay.
So they're right there behind, but they have wins over the Packers and Saints, who are both in that upper. So this is very volatile at week 3 just because you haven't played as many common opponents this season.
So that's my first takeaway. My first takeaway is, so far of those listed, the team that should be higher is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if it comes down to week 18 and it's like who gets in the playoffs between the Saints and the Eagles, the Eagles have the tiebreaker. So
everything else I like so far.
Yeah, that's I tried to just figure out some number. And like, if I revisited this in week 6, teams would dramatically change where they're at based on, because it's weighted so that wins mean more. And if you lose and you lose and you get blown out, you're going to lose some more points.
So give me 11 through 15.
11 through 15, it was at 11, the Houston Texans, and then Eagles, and then the Detroit Lions, the Washington Commanders, and then 15 was the Arizona Cardinals. That's the top of the 1 and 2s.
Okay. So, interesting takeaway there. The Commanders, top 15 team.
They look kind of really
looked
Monday
like
night.
It they the really other night.
Yeah. When's the first time the Eagles and Commanders
David,
played
not
this year?
Happy about that, I can imagine.
I don't know. It just... I don't care because the Commanders are giving us...
If they played right now, would you be more scared about playing the Washington Commanders or Johnny Williams' Dallas Cowboys? If they played right now, who scares you more?
Dallas.
Okay.
It's still Dallas. The thing is, the Commanders still, even last year.
Right now, Johnny's listening and going to this. You're putting my team in the same conversation as the Washington Commanders.
I got a take that I want to hear about, really from Kirk, because I kind of already know that I'll get pushback from David on this.
Okay.
Jaden Daniels might be the best QB in that division.
Oh, boy.
What do we think about that?
Well, I know the numbers are not great on Jalen for the past 12 games, it's, I think, is the, most, is the stats most they're putting
dynamic.
Out.
Let me change my take. Not best. Most dynamic. Dynamic, yes, can mean anything you want it to.
No,
mean.
It's Dak Prescott.
Come on.
It's Dak Prescott. Come on. I think he leads the league right now in passing yards. Coming off of a year where arguably he could have won the MVP, it's definitely still Dak. Second is where it really becomes interesting. Danny Dimes is last. And there's a lot of Eagles fans listening to this going, no way.
I like to see if I can there's get no David Brown up on
David,
the
is it even close? Where are Philadelphia fans at right now on Jalen Hurts is the question.
We're not touting him as an MVP quarterback.
Not anymore, right?
I just he has two interceptions on third down in the end zone this year. Like, what, bro? Like, get the points.
I think it's a... Something I think it's a take you should keep in your pocket.
I'm gonna keep workshopping it. So Hurts, I'm putting it out Dak there now because I know we'll get right Johnny to listen, and I have David right here in front of me.
Hurts is not an MVP quarterback, but I'm glad he is our quarterback. Yeah. I'll say that, but I'm not going to say that he's not 2022 Jalen Hurts was unbelievable. He's nowhere near that.
I'm also gonna keep sticking with Dak a little bit here too. In that I think Dak's closer to than. Being in the top five than out of it.
He was the MVP runner-up.
He was the MVP runner-up. He started off this season simply by throwing them for the most yards through 3 weeks. They've re-signed CeeDee, which means he's got his go-to guy for the foreseeable future. Dak's going to be in that MVP top five conversation for the next few years. I think he's easily number one there. I think after that in that division, it's going to get interesting as the weeks go by this season.
It was only Jaden Daniels' third game in the NFL. I was being maybe a little.
It
bit
is,
facetious.
But there's flashes. I think we can say right now definitively he's got some it factor.
I wouldn't have anticipated him to look that good.
No.
On week three.
If things continue the way they've gone so far this season through three games, he'll be looked at after 1 year as the best quarterback from that.
But it's also worth pointing out that his win over the Giants in week two, he didn't score a touchdown.
Fair. That's a good pushback point.
He's just getting his kicker some work.
16 through 20.
Atlanta, Las Vegas, Indianapolis, Chicago, and Baltimore at 20.
Chicago's quickly becoming the most disappointing team this season. I thought they were going to be much better than they are, not necessarily just because they got the number one pick, Caleb Williams, but because of everything they put around him. Keenan Allen hasn't played in 2 weeks. Rome isn't bad, but he's not the breakthrough artist that I was hoping for. And everything else, the offensive line is horrendous.
That's what it seems to be. They're horrendous. It seems to be the place that they didn't address, that they probably should have addressed, is the offensive line.
All the playmakers in the world, nobody protect the quarterback to get it to them, so they're looking pretty disappointing.
I feel like the Ravens probably have the best chance of that group to skyrocket.
Yeah, and that's why it's like...
To move up? Yeah.
That's why I tried to come up with the system, because I was like, I wanted to do some sort of rankings, and up it's like, you don't just want to rank them on record, you want to figure it out.
No, so, we can keep an eye on who moves up, who moves down.
And that's why, like, I think, so this is week three, I figure I'll probably try to check back in on it once I iron out how I really want to do it. Keep the same system.
But every few weeks.
Like week 10 or something like that, and see where we're at.
21 through 25.
Dallas, San Francisco, New York Giants, Cleveland, New England Patriots.
Dallas and San Francisco.
It's crazy that the Cowboys and Niners are there, but they're both 1-2.
It makes sense, but you would not have anticipated it.
Yeah, that's it. That's interesting. Both with great chances to move up.
Yeah.
From there, then it was Miami and Carolina at 26 and 27, and that's where I hit the snag of.
So you're missing.
I have the 3-0-3s. I put them.
Did I hear the Rams in there?
Yes, I have the Los Angeles Rams. Maybe I didn't write them in. That's a good point. Okay, tell me.
I did not hear the Rams.
Tell me if you think the other team I'm missing is. So one of them is.
And I didn't hear the Patriots.
That was the last one on that one.
I have the Patriots. Okay. So I'm missing the Rams. They would have been above Miami and Carolina. So Miami and Carolina are really 29 and 28. Allegedly, I'm missing one other team. But the Rams I did write in here. I guess I just didn't write on my sheet.
The Rams are...
Who are we missing?
The Rams jump off to me because...
They're just so injured.
They're hurt. So injured. I know they're having some bad games, but even hurt, they still beat the Niners. Who are we missing? We found one.
Yeah, the Jaguars are at the box. I have the 0-3s.
Okay. Chargers?
I have the Chargers. See, that's... I wrote out every team last night. I'm just trying to figure out which
Browns.
One. Have the Browns. Have Cleveland. That's what I got to the end.
I was trying to think of bad teams.
I was worried this was going to happen.
Giants?
Giants are in there.
Giants and Patriots were in that last group.
Texans I have.
The Raiders.
Have the Raiders.
The Broncos. There it is.
There it is.
Got it.
It's the Denver Broncos.
I got it.
This is like us naming teams with Johnny. This is a trivia question. This is naming teams.
I'll get us there. We're used to this type of play.
But the Broncos and the Rams would both have slotted in that mid-20s range just because they have a win. The Broncos have a blowout win, so they might have finished above the Rams. And then you have your 0-3s. But that's why after week three, it could look completely different by week six if a team goes on a three-game win streak or a three-game losing streak. What has been... your favorite story so far in the league, David and Kirk? David, I guess I'll let you go
favorite
first.
Story.
Just that's jumped out so far.
I really like the Darnold Vikings story. And that's why I'm kind of
that's
high
a really good one.
That's why I'm kind of high on them right now. It's just because beating the Niners and Texans like they did is impressive. And Darnold has been pushed all over the league, not doing well, sometimes by his own fault, but others by the situation he was in. Now he goes to Minnesota, he's 3-0, and I just think it's a really cool story, and I'm there's something about Eagles-Vikings playoff games and stuff like that make me nervous that could possibly happen in the future. But if the Vikings are... I like seeing the Vikings do well at this point
in time. Kirk, you know how that's setting up then.
Yeah.
He's going to love the Vikings all year, and then they're going to come into Philly, and it's all going to go... And Jalen's going to throw a third down interception to ice again.
I say that, but the Eagles did beat the Vikings 38-7 in the NFC Championship once, so...
My favorite story is I touched on it last week as a segment, like a question when we did our real or fake. It was, is this draft class of quarterbacks, is it going to be a bust, real or fake? I find myself thoroughly enjoying keeping an eye on all the guys in this class, whether it's Bo Nix and how the Broncos are playing out. Is it a disaster? How's that going to go? Yeah. Is he going to get benched?
Nix and Daniels just had great days after you had that.
And then he comes back. Jaden Daniels, oh man, I really knocked this class. He looks... Now we're sitting here talking about, could he end up being the second best quarterback in that division? And then Caleb Williams is, if they get him a little bit of protection, Keenan Allen's back. Are the weapons, can they overcome what's happened early on here? I think the story of this draft class has been pretty fun. And there's some other awesome guys too, non-quarterbacks. I mean, Malik Nabers looks awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on him. It sounds like they're just throwing him the ball every down.
He's people knocked Marvin Harrison, and then the next game he looked like he could be the
three touchdown catches or something.
Offensive
like that.
Player of the year. So I don't know.
I want to ask a question that's kind of a mix of what both of you guys just said. Where, let's say Darnold continues this run, the Vikings make the playoffs, they even go on a deep playoff run. Where does that leave J.J. McCarthy? Or maybe a better question is, where does that leave Sam Darnold? Like, is this still McCarthy's team to step back into once he's healthy?
They'd have to do something really unbelievable this year, as in basically make a run to, like, the NFC Championship. Otherwise, Sam Darnold's going to be auditioning for his next starting job.
If the Vikings win the division, then Darnold might just have a spot in Minnesota, I feel
he could.
Like.
He could. I think this is more of... Yeah. He's going to keep playing well because this is an audition now.
Yeah.
He's going to end up maybe starting for... one of them 25 to 32 ranked teams, and JJ will be back. And
yeah, I mean, but if the Vikings go on this run, JJ McCarthy will effectively be the new Trey Lance.
It's a tough blow to get injured like that before you get to even step on the field and have the guy in front of you look like an all-world quarterback again. Now, granted, he has arguably the best receiver in football, looking like it so far, playing the part.
I would say when McCarthy, if we're looking at next offseason, and that's still a year away, McCarthy probably gets the inside track because of the draft capital they used on him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably
the biggest
surprise
about the Vikings is that defense is pretty good. So, I don't think
Brian
they expected
Flores.
Him. Yeah, that defense is pretty good. Survivor, Logan's out.
Tough week.
Logan's out.
That was going to be my favorite story is the Andy Dalton resurgence in Carolina.
Logan's out. He had the Browns, no dice. David and I
I had the Raiders over the Panthers.
Sorry, I was reading David's. David had the Browns, who also lost, giving him his first. He only has one mulligan, or his mulligan's gone. I had the Bengals. My mulligan's gone. Logan had the Raiders. That was his mulligan used. He's now out.
I'll just watch.
David and I got we're going to keep it going for as long as we can. Once one of us falls, we got a new idea, a new concept. We're going to give our locks of the week and then kind of play against each other, keep our records of our locks, of our guarantees of the week, just one game each. And then you guys can obviously play along with your own while you're listening. My pick this week, I'm going back to the well. I had them last week. They failed me. They don't have a window here. The Bengals have to beat the Panthers this week. They absolutely have to.
Okay, so you can pick.
You can't pick the same team.
Can't pick the same.
You're right. Yeah. Survivor. Yeah. Well, then you know what? I'm just going to jump right off the horse. I'm going to switch it. I'm going to go with the Panthers.
Panthers over the Bengals?
The Panthers are going to win two in a row.
Andy Dalton revenge tour.
Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket revenge game. And the Bengals just fall flat on their face because that's basically what they've done to me and my picks and backing him so far this season. So, yeah, I'll just reverse course just like that, boys. That's how you do podcasting.
That's
give
a risk.
Me the Panthers. Let's get out of this Survivor-themed segment and get on our way. David, who you got?
I'll take the Rams over the Bears.
Okay.
The Rams are 1-2. So are the Bears, but I like the Rams. I think the Rams are going to have a better season than the Bears overall, and this is where the Rams can pick up a win.
I think we were all high on the Rams, right? They're just so banged up. I didn't
foresee Puka.
Puka down, down. Cooper Kupp. Not looking good for all the people who say he's always injured. Yeah. That's not great for him.
I had someone text me, and I'm pretty sure they don't listen to this show, so I'll talk about it here. I had someone text me yesterday morning proposing a fantasy football trade for me to give them Jaden Daniels and Cooper Kupp in exchange for Jalen Hurts and somebody else I would want. I laughed them off the phone.
Yeah, I'm keeping in terms of fantasy, I'm keeping Jaden Daniels.
You talked about earlier, and I didn't get to interject this, and nobody cares about your fantasy team, but I drafted Mahomes and Kelsey together in a league this year.
Okay.
Has not paid a dividend.
The big not working out for me fantasy football wise, Anthony Richardson. Not great
either.
Not great, guys. That's
what about you, David? Are you like 4-3-0 in your league?
No, I'm 1-2.
Any big?
I almost got saved by that. I'm getting injuries all over the place.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's the story of fantasy football. Period. I got like 8 guys on the bench. But
Dallas Goedert almost saved me with 170 yards on 10 catches on Sunday. If he would have gone into the end zone on that one big play, but yeah,
I think that does it. You guys got anything else?
That's it for this week. We'll see you guys next week. Please get out, support the community, support your local athletes. Check out Logan and David, obviously, with the Morning Times and the Daily Review. They got you covered all the way through. Thank you to the Jolly Farmer for sponsoring us once again this week. Sorry once again to Johnny Williams and his Cowboys. We will keep bringing Johnny up as much as we can throughout this season. We miss him.
Went from Johnny Williams hate week straight into Kirk Lovinson hate week.
Yeah, Logan and I got a date with Destiny this weekend. And other than that, we'll see you guys next week.